I've been super paranoid that the Zoomers are going to get my terrible voice on the singing, so hopefully I've muted myself in the right places. While we've... Thanks, Tess and Roger. Really appreciate that. While we have been unable to gather in person, one of the things that I have been pondering is Christian calling. And I've been considering the fact that we are all called by God into God's kingdom. And that's for a reason. And I've also, so that's us as individuals, but I've also been thinking about the fact that we have also together been called to this place for a reason. In Baptist churches, we have often use the word calling or called with regards to pastors. I have a terms of call document as opposed to a contract. And as a pastor, I feel called to pastoral ministry as well as in general, but I also feel called to pastoral ministry in this particular specific place, this community. The other place I think we hear call being talked about a lot is with those who are working overseas or in mission contexts where there's often that language again of feeling called to that mission field. And while I like the language of calling, because I think it's significant, I think it can also be a little unhelpful if it is mostly used or sometimes only used in the context of pastors or people who are going overseas on the mission field. Because it risks us forgetting, like I said, that we have all been called into God's kingdom by God for a reason. And that we have also been called here to this faith community for a reason. And for each of us, God first called us into God's kingdom. And then the secondary, or the after that primary calling, we have been called together in this particular community. And when I think of calls in the Bible, one of my favourites is definitely this one of Moses and the burning bush. So I'm going to read the first part of it. It kind of goes on for about a chapter and a half, but I'm going to read the first 12 verses you can see there. So as I'm reading it, I invite you to imagine yourself in that space. What do you notice if you were walking around that desert? What do your senses pick up? What questions do you have as you encounter this bush and this voice from the bush? And how would you respond if you were Moses being called by God in that space? So this is Exodus 3, 1 to 12. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land, out that land, into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So, now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign that to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. In my initial readings of this passage this week, I must admit that I initially got drawn to the more fantastic elements of it, particularly the burning bush. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but the NIV itself heads this passage, Moses and the burning bush, so I forgave myself for that. But as I kept reading and reading, I kept getting stuck then on verse 5, which is where God says, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." In the context of a calling, focus on the one who calls is important. Focusing on God, the Holy One, the Creator of all, who is above all and in all, and who is reconciling all things to God's self, focusing on the one who calls is vital. The video we watched earlier unpacked the significance of that word holy, which means so much more than the moral focus that we rightly have on that word, but it's so much more than that. The holiness of God is confronting to us. God's holiness shows us what the kingdom of God is to be like. It is something that is dangerous and could destroy us, but instead, God's holiness is something that God uses to transform us. God's holiness makes the impure pure, brings life, reconciliation, and restoration. This is what Jesus showed us. Jesus' holiness brought life and healing and hope as he ushered in the kingdom of God. In the face of such power, such beauty, such love, what will our response be to being called by this holy God? Moses was told to remove his sandals, to not come any closer. He recognized God's holiness and hid his face in fear. We are called by that same God, and we're called to allow God and God's holiness to transform us. Will we allow that? Do we think of God's holiness as something that transforms us? It's something that was highlighted to me this as I reflected a lot on that. So thinking about or reflecting on the one who calls before we think about the calling that we have received ourselves is vital. But of course we do have to respond to that, and I wonder if you were Moses, how you would respond. So we're going to have a look a little bit at how he did. As someone who was initially raised by his mum after the whole basket in the Nile thing, being given back to his mum, avoiding the child, the infanticide of the Pharaoh, Moses would have, in that process, at least heard about the God of his Hebrew ancestors, the God that they worshipped. But his education was, and upbringing was obviously within the Egyptian court. So it's not familiar exactly how clear he would have been about who God was, or who God was revealing himself to be at that moment. Would he have gone, "Oh yeah, I know that"? Or is that something that would have just been a distant memory? But God identifies God's self with Moses' past, with the past of his ancestors. And I think that in that, God is acknowledging, as we do, that God is God of the past, as God is God of the present, in that moment as he's encountering him. And of course, with the calling, God is saying, "I will be the God, I am the God of the future." So God is linking who God is to Moses' story, to Moses' sort of fucker puppet, if you will. And all of us have a similar story, not necessarily similar to Moses, but a story of God's calling that has been brought to us from a different source. Perhaps some of us are the first Christians in our family. Perhaps some of us have come from generations of Christians. But we all have that story of being introduced, of having God saying, "This is who I am," to us. Maybe it's through grandparents or parents or friends. And those stories, I think, that story that God is linking our present with the past, and the way that God has worked amongst us and in our lives and in the lives of those around us to bring us to God's self. Those stories, I think, are really important for us to be able to name and share and say, "This is how I know who God is. These are the people who led me to know this wonderful, holy, transforming, loving God." And those stories, I think, when I think of the calling and callings that I have sensed in my life, being able to tell those stories are really helpful when I begin to question those calls. So when you think to your introduction to who God is, who are the people? Or what are the places that you think about? And how can you acknowledge and tell those stories more to those around you as a way potentially of introducing them to God? That story of our interaction and our introduction, to God is really, really important. And God continues speaking to Moses, explaining the reason for this encounter from the burning bush. God has heard of the plight of the Israelites, and God is calling Moses to do something about it, to bring freedom and dignity and justice to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I notice the sequence there. Before telling Moses what God wanted him to do, God solidifies the story, who God is in the story of Moses' life and his ancestors. So that first, I'm identifying who I am, says God, before I ask you to do something. I think, again, that sequence is important because we're focusing on who it is that is doing the calling, not the task that is at hand. We're all called by God into the family of God first. God has called us. God has welcomed us. God has loved us. God loves us. We know this. But what is the specific call of the faith community that we are a part of? This, of course, is discerned and being discerned by us when we gather to listen to the Spirit of Christ that is in us and among us. And that is the work we must continue to do together. But in the face of that call, it can be a little easy to get stuck, as Moses did immediately after hearing that special call that God has given. Moses' response is to doubt. He doubts himself. God tells him that to bring the people out of Egypt. And Moses' reply is, "Who am I? What have I got to offer?" Those of you who are familiar with the story will know that this is the first of 5 "yeah buts" or no, send someone else that Moses gives. 5 times Moses pushes back. 5 times he argues. 5 times God is questioning the wisdom of, Moses is questioning the wisdom of God in choosing him to do that. And when I stop to think about that, I see myself there often. It's easy to doubt myself in the face of what I think God might be calling me to do. It's much easier, I think, to be the Moses in that fearful, doubtful space that Moses was in, asking myself, who am I? Thinking of myself as nobody special. In my interactions with many people, including some of us, I think I'm not alone in that. I often hear or perceive the doubts that we face as we come up against what it is that God is calling us to do. And maybe it's before that, maybe it's even doubting God's love for us. So it's a natural response, I think, to this incredible calling. It's something that many of us struggle with, as Moses did. So we're in good company with Moses when we feel doubtful or feel inadequate. But God doesn't leave us there, as God didn't leave Moses there either. God gives Moses 2 promises. The first was God's presence. I will be with you. I will be with you. And we, again, that's something that I think we talk about a lot, eh? The sense of we know that God will never leave or forsake us. We know that. But I think when tough times happen, when the unexpected happens, the knowledge that we have is difficult to feel. But that is God's promise. No matter the size of the task that is ahead of us, God will be with us. The other promise is worship. When you've done this, you will gather together with my people and you will worship. And I thought of that today We are gathering to worship again for the first time in this form at least. Well, in this particular form ever, but together to worship God. And that is a promise and a wonderful thing that gives me hope as being the people of God, as being called in to the people of God in this place. So God gives us those same promises. God gives us what we need. The promises that God will be with us as we take steps into whatever it is that God is calling us to. God has been present throughout the painful seasons of our lives as individuals and as a community. And God is present in the things that we celebrate. And God will be present as we take steps courageously to fulfill our calling. The God whose holiness is transforming the world through the people that God has chosen and has called to be conduits of the love of Christ. That holy, transforming God is calling us to be agents of transformation, of reconciliation. The what, though, becomes the question for us, doesn't it, as a church community? What is God calling us to do? I often hear people say, I don't know what it is that God is calling me to do. And I think equally as a church community, that's something that we need to work together on. As we looked at in the setting of Church Free Day, that sense of what it is that is gathering us together, the sense of purpose, that sense of vision. And this is where I want to return to what I was initially drawn to in the passage, the what. Moses was a shepherd doing a pretty normal job, wandering around the desert with his sheep. In the desert, it's hot. There you go, there's some profound truth for you there. And so the reality is burning bushes were not that uncommon. And so Moses could easily have been just kept on walking in this context where, oh yeah, there's a bush, that's fire. But he took the time to notice something different about this particular bush that was burning without being consumed. And I think there's something significant in that for us. What is the stuff that we see every day that God might be trying to get our attention with? What is the stuff as we leave our homes, as we drive or ride or walk or bus to work, that we are seeing? Who are the people? What are the places? How is God getting our attention through the everyday, the stuff that we just see normally, that we don't even think about, as it would have been so easy to do for Moses? And if Moses had done that, he would have missed an encounter with the God of the cosmos. So if we aren't sure exactly what it is we are as individuals or as a faith community, what it is that God is calling us to do, I wonder if that's a place where I can encourage all of us to start to reflect in those things that we see every day and those people that we see every day in our places around our homes and our church here. Imagine if Moses had just kept walking past that bush. He wouldn't have had that terrifyingly wonderful conversation with God. And so as we go into a new week with these strange requirements, that can be a bit of a pain, as we walk our streets, as we drive, as whatever it is, as you're just at work, who are the people that are just kind of in the background that you wouldn't ever notice, that perhaps God is calling you through them? Can I encourage all of us to, as we go through our next week, to notice those little things that we wouldn't think to notice before? Ask God, show me, reveal yourself, reveal your will in these things that perhaps I haven't noticed before. And as we do that, as we hopefully all become a bit more aware of those things, perhaps that will help us in our process of discerning what it is that God is calling us to do together in this faith community. We've got the big picture answer to that, don't we? We watched that video with Michael Rhodes a couple of months back, which talked about the justice and righteousness of God, the gospel. That's the big picture. That's what we're wanting to bring into the world by the Spirit. But that doesn't give us a specific answer. We know that it will be within those categories, and that is going to bring the life of God into our neighbourhoods. That's the big picture. But what is it that is going to be our thing, the thing that God is calling us to for this season? So I invite you to reflect on that as I'll have the slide up shortly, but as you go into a new week, what is it that God is trying to get your attention with in this stuff that is just normal every day? So we'll take a couple of minutes. I'm just conscious of the time, so we won't take too long, but perhaps some of these questions might help as you begin to reflect this morning, and then we'll sing a song together. Who are the everyday people, or what are the everyday places and things that you see that God might be calling to you from? How will you respond to God's call to bring God's justice and righteousness to those people and places? What do you think that God is calling us to be involved with as a faith community here at WSBC? And how do you respond to God's transforming holiness? Let's just take a couple of minutes to sit quietly and reflect on that. We'll come together.